Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Let's pray. Gracious Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come here tonight gathered in your name to lift you up, to study your word, to honor your many blessings to us. We come in gratitude, Lord, because you have been so good. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the new mercy poured out and the grace that we stand in and the privilege, Lord, hallelujah, of standing with you, Lord, sitting with you in heavenly places and with our brothers and sisters. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings. Lord, thank you for the opportunities we've had today to represent you, to be ambassadors, to speak the truth in love, to stand for holiness, and to come before you, Lord, asking for your help, asking for your forgiveness, asking, Lord, hallelujah, that you will receive our offerings of praise. Lord, thank you for the joy that we have in our souls to get another opportunity to come together. And to come together, Lord, hallelujah, in your name, under your authority, under the umbrella of your anointing. It is a privilege. Lord, we come because, Lord, you have allowed us to. And Lord, we are mindful, Lord, that everything that we have and everything we have that gives you praise, it comes from you. And Lord, jobs, whatever we have, whatever we are blessed to walk in, you've given it to us. And Lord, we thank you. So Lord, we ask your blessing on Bread of Heaven Church. Lord, open up heaven over Bread of Heaven Church. And Lord, help us to reach those that you have called us to reach. And Lord, thank you for the sufficiency of your word, the power of it, the vastness of your word. And Lord, help us in our smallness, Lord, to get lost in you, that we might be able, Lord, hallelujah, to please you, to walk in authority, to walk in power. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for our families, the families represented on the call, the families represented by those connected to Bread of Heaven. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask your blessing on Brother Holden's brother, Brother Jesse. And Lord, we ask that you touch him and let him recover from this stroke. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessing on Elder Holden, who's not feeling well today. And Lord, that you touch, hallelujah. And whatever's flying up, Lord, you calm it down. You heal it. You remit it. In the name of Jesus, please. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessing on Sister Sammy. Lord, Sister Sammy Malone, Sister Samantha, Lord, we ask that you bless. And Lord, let the levels, the potassium, the sodium, get where they're supposed to be and be regulated. And Lord, more significantly, Lord, help her with the gaining of weight. In the name of Jesus, we just give it to you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we come in confidence. We come in dependency, but confidence. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you do it. Lord, in the name of Jesus and others, sisters, Mother Subtle, Sister Brash's mother, Lord, touch her, strengthen her, Lord. Hallelujah. And bless those who are tending to her and those who love her so much, Lord, hallelujah, that this won't be so hard to see her sick. Lord, you've been good to us, and we thank you. Lord, there are things going on in everybody's life. There are things going on in everybody's family. And Lord, we ask that you intervene and show up strong and give us the words to say. Give us the way to approach things. Help us to make wise decisions. Lord, lead us, guide us, Lord, in your word. Order our steps in your word. Order our steps in your spirit, Lord, that we might be found pleasing, that we might give victory preeminence in our life, Lord, that we won't be just living from crisis to crisis, Lord, but we'll live a life of purpose and design. Lord, those of us who have jobs or businesses or gigs or whatever, Lord, we ask that you help us with those, that we'll be able to be productive, that we might be excellent, that we might have the kind of testimony that Daniel had, that they couldn't find anything wrong with our work. And in the meantime, Lord, help us, Lord, to reach people that you put in our path as you would have us to. Show us, Lord, give us wisdom, give us discernment, Lord, and give us unction in everything that we do. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight's Bible study. We ask that you bless in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last week, the topic I announced was destructive tendencies. And over the week, I thought better of it. I thought I should add something. So it's overcoming destructive tendencies. Last week was part one. We talked about jealousy. And this week is part two. We'll talk about something else. Give a quick review of last week. Our main scripture turned out to be from Genesis 4. We talked about Cain and Abel and jealousy rising up and how horrific it was that the first two siblings in all of mankind, one turned out to be a murderer and one turned out to be a murder victor, a victim. And then Genesis 37, we talked about Joseph's brothers saw him coming and conspired to kill him. Here comes this dream. He had on that coat of many colors that was like a lightning rod for their jealousy. I mentioned in history, I was talking about the assassination of Julius Caesar, and I mentioned Mark Antony, which was not correct. I had a hesitation when I said, but it was the lead assassin was Brutus. Somebody on the inner circle that, again, jealousy. Talked about James 3:16. It talks about well, there's envy, there's strife, and, envy, there's strife and confusion in every evil work. 1 Samuel 18 about the women singing. Saul has killed thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. That led to Saul wanting to kill David, even though David had done anything. That's one of the themes that we talked about, that the people who were wanting to kill people, the other person hadn't done anything to them. And that's the power, the destructive power of jealousy. We also talked about one of the scariest scriptures was Proverbs 27:4, when it talked about wrath being cruel, anger being outrageous. And then it said, as if this was something worse than wrath and worse than anger, who is able to stand before envy? And so envy is put on a level above wrath, which is cruel, anger, which is outrageous. And so, I was a little scary. And we talked about this first murder in the world and how that murder affected everybody in the world, because it was four people in the world, mom and dad and these two brothers. All right, let's go. Let's do an introductory scripture here tonight. Then I'll tell you what the subtopic is. Our topic is Overcoming Destructive Tendencies, Part 2. Last week, our emphasis was on jealousy. We got a kind of a whole different slant tonight. Even the impetus of the title is different. All right, John 12. I'm sorry, John 6, the Gospel of John 6, verse 12 and 13. And this is one of the recountings of the tale of the feeding the 5,000 plus. Verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves which remain over and above unto them that were had eaten. So they had fed more than 5,000 people with this little boy's lunch, and then there were 12 baskets of leftovers, and Jesus instructed them to gather up the fragments so that nothing be lost, right? And our topic tonight is trust Jesus with the broken stuff, the broken fragments, the leftovers from this meal. And we'll get into it a little bit more. Our second scripture, I'm having a little trouble with my little makeshift office here. A little makeshift podium. I'm dropping stuff. We good. All is well. Let's see. Just give me a second to find this. Okay. We're going to go to 2 Timothy, and then we're going to go to Acts, the 27th chapter. Trust Jesus with the broken stuff. Part 2 of Overcoming Destructive Tendency. And what is the tendency here? To not trust Jesus with the broken stuff. To try to fix it. To try to gloss over it. To cope and keep going without giving it to God. Not forgiving. Not repenting. Not telling God the stuff that's painful for us to tell. I'm a good person. Why should I have to tell him everything? He's God. He already knows it. Why do I have to speak certain words that I don't want to ever be spoken concerning my life, such as admitting that you're jealous or admitting certain things or admitting that something is broken? And sometimes it is a relationship that is broken. And that's what we're going to get to here in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things. Paul is giving instruction to his son in the gospel, Timothy. Endure afflictions. Why? Why is he telling them to endure afflictions? Well, because afflictions are coming. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And then he said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Come see about me, Timothy. I'm here in Rome. I got a crazy emperor by the name of Nero. It seems like he wants to kill me. For Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Well, we know that Mark had a falling out with Paul, and Paul didn't want to take him with him anymore because of the falling out that they had. And Mark even ended up going with Barnabas for a while. And then Paul went with other people like Silas. But here he's saying at the end, whatever had been broken between them, hallelujah, Jesus had fixed. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for ministry. So we have relationships that are not like what they should be. Either there's an ungodly aspect to it, or it's broken. It's not a loving, easygoing relationship. You ever go to a family thing and then a certain person walks in, you kind of tense up, something's wrong. And trust Jesus with the broken stuff. It doesn't matter whose fault it is, right? Give it to the Lord. That's one of the lessons we learned last week. We didn't learn it, but we emphasized. Hopefully it was a reminder that we got to give jealousy to the Lord when we feel it, when it rises up. You don't have to be a jealous person per se to have moments of jealousy. And if you have that moment, you don't want that thing to take hold in you. Give it to the Lord then. Talk to the Lord about it. Let him know that you need his help with this. You don't want to feel this way. You don't want that thing to be, because you know it's very destructive. Hallelujah. And according to the scripture I read, I think Proverbs 27:4, it's like on a higher level than wrath and anger, right? So envy is deep. It's rooted. Hallelujah. And you don't want that thing to get a hold of you. So, I said last week, I was using jealousy and envy as roughly interchangeable terms, because that's the way it appears in scripture. But I said you could get a linguist to split hairs and talk about them being different. But it was, for biblical purposes, it's the same thing. All right. So let's go to Acts, the 27th chapter. Well, we know what happened in 26. It is his trial before Agrippa. And Agrippa says, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I wish you were just like me, except for the bonds. And he had appealed to Caesar as he had been instructed of the Lord to do. The Lord wanted Paul to go to Rome. They said, well, he might have been set at liberty when they had the little deliberation, except he had appealed to Rome. So here he is. He's on his way to Rome in chapter 27. Starts out good in a way. There's a soft southerly wind. All of a sudden, this thing called Euryclodon rose up. And they had a storm that lasted at least 2 weeks. They threw cargo overboard. They just were in a mess. It said they didn't see sun or stars for 14 days, something like that. So it was rough out there. And sometimes a storm will last, right? Most of the time, in our experience, a storm will last a day, maybe two, but not 14 days. And so some of the storms of our life that God allows have a purpose that we can't comprehend, and there's God is trying to get to something. Acts 27, verse 27. I thought, you know, I could read this whole chapter, but I'm going to read about a third of it. It's kind of a long chapter. But when the 14th night was come, they're in the middle of the storm, as we were driven up and down in Adria. About midnight, the shipments deemed that they were near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And then they had gone a little further. They sounded again, found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. You ever wish for the day when things are going wrong? I need a break, Lord. You show me a little sunshine. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Hallelujah. Abiding in the ship is important. Abiding in the Lord, abiding in the church, abiding in the truth is important. Abiding in the fellowship, right? Didn't want no free agents. People start diving into the water and stuff. They had a plan. It was a loose plan. But the plan at that point was to stay in the ship under the word of the man of God. And then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. You're not going to die. And when he had thus fought, and he's saying that you won't even be injured. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. Hallelujah. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Hallelujah. In this dire situation, he dare not, as much as he was starving, he dare not take a morsel of bread without giving thanks to the Lord and letting everybody around him hear him thank the Lord for that little measure of bread they were eating. Then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Finally, I get to eat a little something. Finally, some sustenance. And we were in all in the ship, 216 souls. 276 souls on this ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship again and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek before shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. They saw a potential way in, even though they could not really see the land. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Well, a couple of points. Well, first, the instruction from God was abide in the ship through the man of God. The next, it was abandon ship. And sometimes we need to hear a fresh word from God. We can't go on just what we heard, in a prior time. And here, the swimmers swam and could go swim to land, and the rest, some on boards, listen to this, and some on the broken pieces of the ship, the thing that they thought was secure, the thing that they thought that they had to abide in, and they had to at that time, is broken up in pieces. And what parts of your life have been broken up? Times maybe you had a good job, maybe you were feeling great, and then something got broken. A supervisor, a layoff, a shift in the economy, maybe a turn in your health. What was solid, what was secure, what would hold you up, hallelujah, somehow got broken. But sometimes the broken pieces is what you have to hold on to, hallelujah, and give to the Lord. Broken stuff. Broken stuff can save you. Tears can save you. Crying out to the Lord in repentance over something you did, over something you said that broke your relationship, your vow to the Lord. Hallelujah. That brokenness can carry you somewhere safe if you give it to the Lord. Give God your broken stuff. Give God your broken stuff. Give God your bitter waters, like Moses did in the wilderness when they came to the water that was poisonous. Give God your stuff, whatever it is. Trust Jesus with your broken stuff, your broken relationships. Hallelujah. That sense that you've waited too late. That stuff has passed you by. Give God all of that. He's able to redeem time. He's able to keep his word to you. He's able to heal you. Hallelujah. And sometimes we get to the point where we say, Lord, when? When the breakthrough is going to come? When the deliverance? Lord, when is this situation going to get fixed? I'm sure the people on that boat were not used to a storm of this magnitude, especially when it started out so peaceful and all of that. And then all of a sudden, you're rocking down. Some versions say a nor'easter. Hallelujah. But it was a rough, rough storm. And it lasted at least 2 weeks. And somehow, by God's providence and grace, they survived it. It all ended up on the Isle of Melita or the Isle of Malta. And as soon as he got there, he got bitten by a poisonous snake. He shook it off into the fire. He didn't swell up. Hallelujah. The lesson from that is we can get bitten by stuff. Stuff that should have killed us. Stuff that should have took us down for the count. Stuff that should have caused us to be paralyzed. Stuff that should have caused us, hallelujah, perhaps to even stop praising God, but yet we shook it off in the fire. Hallelujah. And we have to learn how to give the broken stuff to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let him do something magnificent in our lives, great in our lives, blessed in our lives. All right. And one of the greatest things, one of the greatest examples of brokenness is when Jesus said, well, it's recorded in 1 Corinthians 11:24, this is my body, which is broken for you, broken for me, broken for you, broken for us, broken for bread of heaven, broken for our families, broken for those of us who are blessed to be here living in 2024, praising the Lord, longing for the opportunity to go to church on Sunday, longing for the opportunity to gather in the name of the Lord, glad about where we are in the Lord, struggling with whatever we're struggling with, but hallelujah, we are committed to giving God the broken pieces, hallelujah, because if we don't, we step into a broken, destructive tendency of thinking, praise God, that one, God's not going to do it for us because we messed up or we lied or we did this, or the sense of, okay, I can power on my own. Well, we have to press. We can't throw in the towel. But the God we serve helps us to press. The God we serve carries us sometimes when we can't press anymore. Hallelujah. So we have to give the broken stuff, hallelujah, to the Lord. Broken relationship. I got a cousin mad at me right now. He's somewhere pouting. Stop texting me and stuff like that. And guess what? It's old. It's my fault. It's my fault. But I give this broken stuff to the Lord. When my sister Chris died in September, I sent him a text, let him know. And then he said, well, text me when you know when the service is. Well, when the service was set, I sent a group text to a lot of family. Somehow he got left off. He never followed up with me. And then he missed the service. He called me. He wasn't being like rough with me, but he was upset. And I said, look, I sent a group text. I thought you were included. I'm sorry. And of course, you could have followed up with me. But he got mad. He just wouldn't hardly respond. I was trying to talk to him. And we're pretty close. I preached his mother's funeral a few years ago. We're kind of last of the Mohicans, you know, and stuff like that. He's younger than I am. But I guess I got to reach out to him. I don't like pout, because God has been too good. But I guess I got to try to reach out to him, invite him to lunch or something, if it's broken. But I have talked to God about it. I got peace about it. Because I know I had no intention of leaving nobody out. And we just make mistakes. And sometimes when the world is kind of on your shoulders or it feels like that, you're trying to navigate something, like I was trying to deal with my nephew and all that. I'm not making excuses. I should have notified him. I said I would. I try to keep my word. But some things happen. So he'd rather be mad than to be, be sensitive to the fact that I had lost my sister. So I'll work on it. I'll do it. But I'm giving it to the Lord. And I will pray earnestly again. I mean, right before I call him, I'll pray. He may not answer the phone. But give God your broken stuff. It don't matter whose fault it is. Hallelujah. If your relationship is not like it should be, give it to God. David had an interesting life. And we'll talk a little bit about him. Because he stole this man's wife, caused him to be killed. It was just as if David had shot him himself. He put him on the front lines. He killed him. He murdered him by edict, by order. In a treacherous way, making a man take his own death warrant to the captain of the guard. And then he took his wife, and then the little boy that was born of the relationship died. It was terrible. It was a terrible situation. But later, one of his sons raped one of David's daughters. Amnon raped one of the daughters, and then 3 years later, Absalom killed Amnon, and then Absalom kind of fled, and David shunned Absalom. It was a broken situation. Tell me, if there's ever a definition of something being broken in a family, that was broken. He shunned Absalom even after Absalom came back. And that was on David. Hallelujah. He was the dad. He was the leader. And leading means going first. Hallelujah. Leading in a marriage means going first. When you and your wife, brothers, can't work something out, men, we have to try. We have to go first. We have to try to fix it. You know, give it a shot anyway, right? And, you know, you're scared she might be going for the butcher knife. Well, you know, whatever. But my point is this, go first. And there were times when my son and I had disagreements, nothing nearly as horrific as what David had going in his family. And God put on my heart to reach out to him. And a lot of times I'll just say, hey, you want to go to lunch? Want to go to dinner? Meet me such and such after Bible class. And we would fellowship. And we would laugh and work it out. But man, I knew it was my responsibility as the dad to not let my son feel shunned. And God blessed that. So toward the end of his life, even though he was pastoring his own church, he was coming out of church. And he was saying stuff like this, Dad, you my pastor. And so now none of us having any idea what would happen. It's a source of comfort to me that I did not shun him, that I did reach out, that we were reconciled over a difference that was really nothing. And these things mean something. And our walk with the Lord is dependent on, according to our topic, trust Jesus with the broken stuff. Give it to the Lord. Remember, I talked about jealousy last week, and I talked about it in terms of, yeah, we got to press on. We got to put the flesh under subjection, all of that. But we got to give it to God. We have to say those words. We have to not sugarcoat it. We have to say to the Lord something we would never want to say and say, Lord, I got jealous when such and such received that promotion. I got jealous when such and such got that brand new house or whatever it is. It's not pretty. Hallelujah. But in order to overcome destructive tendencies, we have to give these things to the Lord. The root of bitterness will come up. We talked about the destructive power of jealousy and envy last week. How it tears up churches. It tears up ecclesiastical organizations or relationships, bishops falling out, all kind of stuff, families. Some proportion of the work I do here in the courthouse has to do with families not being able to agree. Simple things like brothers and sisters owning a piece of real estate that their dad left them. They can't agree. They can't, somebody wants to live in it. Somebody wants to sell it. Somebody wants to sell it at auction. Somebody wants to give it to real estate. Somebody wants to give it to real estate, but not that real estate. And it's fighting. Praise the Lord. And then we get family businesses. And they get to the point where they can't run the business together. And they come to court to ask the court to divide things up. In other words, get the court to help them, this court, to help them with a business divorce, right? And it's broken. They haven't really talked about it. They haven't tried to mediate it. They haven't really, hallelujah, it seems to me, given it to God. And guess what? When the balance sheet is written at the end of the case, what's the biggest expense? Litigation expenses, attorney's fees, depositions, experts. Hallelujah. And many times at the beginning of one of those cases, I'll say to them, look, sometimes I talk to people, make suggestions to people about a case. And I say to them, this is my speech sometimes to people, that sometimes when you are dealing with people who are family and you love them, but you can't disagree, you go to court, you just feel so strongly that you are right, and you may be right. But in the end, when everything is tallied up in the end, it's a possibility that the biggest thing on the balance sheet is going to be attorney's fees and litigation. I said, I'm just throwing it out there. And then a lot of times that's what happens. They end up with $50,000 apiece. The heirs and the lawyer's fees, $150,000. If they had sat down and given the broken stuff to Jesus, everybody would have walked away with more money in their pockets. Hallelujah. We need this. We need this. We need this. I need this. We need this. Our families need this. Our church relationships need this. We need to trust Jesus with the broken stuff. Hallelujah. But it's painful to recognize that something is broken, especially with somebody it shouldn't be broken with. Somebody you know you love, you know they love you, but something has gone wrong, right? And this thing, hallelujah, about even David, he know he was in a broken, messed up thing, had that man's woman, had him killed, trying to start a family like ain't nothing happened. And all this happening before a holy God, playing like God ain't holy no more or whatever. It doesn't work like that. And that's why we carry stuff. Because we know it's not straight. We know it's not what it should be. We know, hallelujah, that we've done XYZ or said XYZ. And then we somehow won't trust God, won't trust our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with the broken stuff. I've had friends over the years who have had marital difficulties. And some of those marital difficulties led to divorce. And then they come to me sometimes to talk to me about it. And it puts me in a tough situation because I'm not trying to be anything. I'm trying to be helpful, but I'm not trying to do anything other than that. And I have to look them in the eye and say, you're not telling me the whole story. You know, I guess I look goofy, you know. I guess when you ask God to help you to deal with people with kindness, they think you're stupid or weak. And that's part of the cross. I wear that cross in the day of the week. So, but those who those who really know me know that I'm not weak. I don't quit. You know, I try to be steady in what I do for the Lord, steadfast and faithful. That's my hope. I try to be a balanced person, you know, fair, objective, and deal with people like I want to be dealt with. But, you know, if that looks like weakness, so what? But anyway, so years ago, I mean, this is in the early 90s, I believe. I'm talking with one of my friends, and I said, you're not telling me the whole story. And he was telling me something about he's displeased with his wife or something like that. I didn't say what I wanted to say. You know, I went as far as wisdom led me to go. I didn't say, you know, you got a girlfriend, dude. I didn't say that. Of course, it came out later. But I did say, you're not telling me the whole story. And did God wake you up? But I did say that. Did God wake you up this morning? And he said, yeah. I said, well, then you can try a little bit more today to work this out. That's what I told him. I didn't. He probably left kind of upset with me. But those broken pieces, they're not to be on our shoulders. We have to take responsibility. But we have to trust Jesus with that stuff. That stuff is too hard for us, right? There's not a man on this call that can figure out everything that's going through his wife's man. There's not a woman on this call who can figure out everything that's going through her husband's mind. You got gives God the disconnect. Men shut down at certain points, right? Because they don't want to go off. They don't want to raise their blood pressure. They don't want to stroke out, you know? And so, you know, they take a path of least resistance sometime and just kind of shut down. Well, that makes the woman really upset because not getting the attention. The husband seems aloof, seems like he's on his own world, but he's shutting down because he's tired of the drama, right? And so there has to be a point where the brokenness is presented to Jesus. And then you see yourself in the mirror of the word and say, now, Lord, what's my part in this? I mean, be frank. We can always point to the other person. But the moment that you gave me, but that's not how we're supposed to deal with each other. And that's not the way we're supposed to trust the Lord. Hallelujah. It shows lack of trust of the Lord to blame him and say, this is the woman you gave me. Instead, we have to say, Lord, we got a mess. I have a leadership role in this relationship. Evidently, there's something I'm not doing I should be doing because X, Y, and Z is going on. And Lord, it's broken. Or if it's not broken, it's breaking. And I give it to you, Lord, and I need you to show me. Show me a scripture. Give me a word to say. Put an unction in me, hallelujah, so that when I tell her X, Y, Z, when I tell her I'm sorry, it'll penetrate her heart. She'll believe me, right? But the broken stuff, so much of it. It's so much of it that happens in our lives. and we have to give it. Sometimes between siblings who love themselves, their sibling to the moon and back, and will hurt anybody else that falls out with their sibling. But sometimes siblings have that, right? And you have to fix it. Yeah. I had some things going on with my sibling years ago. I'm not going to repeat it. It involved some issues concerning my dad's house and some stuff after he passed away. And we had disagreement, whatever, whatever, whatever. But when the thing was settled, when the dispute was settled, when it was worked out, I said, I'm inviting them to lunch. I'm setting up a sibling meal. I can't let this fester. I can't do that. I'm supposed to be a man of God. I'm supposed to be a preacher. I am now a pastor. Hallelujah. I can't just let this thing just dwindle off. I'm not going to call them. They didn't call me. No. Whenever somebody has ought, whether it's your fault or whatever it is, you have a responsibility to just step forward and say, as much as life within you, to live peaceably with all men. Hallelujah. It's a destructive tendency to let it fester. We got to overcome that. Hallelujah. We got to overcome the stuff. It depends on what kind of job you have worked. If you're on a job with a lot of people, you're going to have some disagreements. If it's a small group, you might have some, but it might be less. They might be more serious if you're in a small group because you have less of an opportunity, less of a buffer for peace, right? But you're going to have these things, right? We have to. As part of our own self-examination, as part of our worship, hallelujah. We don't want anything to hinder our worship, hallelujah. You say, Lord, hallelujah, I got to give you this. It's broken or breaking, hallelujah. There's something dysfunctional. There's something out of sync going on, hallelujah, hallelujah. And give it to the Lord. And give it to him. And not just give it there. Ask the Lord, what can I do? What should I do to try to fix this? Lord, I take responsibility and I trust you to lead me on this. And that's very important, y'all. Very important. All right. Questions, comments? We're on part two of overcoming destructive tendencies. Last week, we talked about jealousy, Cain and Abel, or the prodigal son, you know, the two brothers, Joseph and his brothers. Tonight, we talked about giving God the broken stuff. We talked about David. Apparently hadn't really given this thing about Bathsheba and Uriah, and the man of God had to call him out. But we have to. We must do that. I don't want to live under layers and layers of pain. I don't want to not be clear before the God of heaven, right? And failing to trust Jesus with the broken stuff is a destructive tendency of pride in our flesh. Questions, comments, brief testimonies?
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
Praise the Lord, Minister Maxwell.
Excellent, excellent lesson on trusting God with the hard stuff. Or it's very, very very hard to do that, you know, when we, you know, just as human beings in our ordinary everyday life, it's hard to give it over, give things over to God. And then you can say you're going to do it and really intend to do it. But just find yourself really not doing it. So thank you for the lesson. Very, very powerful and thought-provoking, and just the things you talked about, especially with David. You know, that story is powerful in and of itself about him and, you know, what he did to Uriah, and then didn't even recognize and realize the depth of the problem in the situation until it was brought to his attention. But when it was brought to his attention, he repented.
Amen.
So thank you. Thanks for the lesson and the reminder that we have to trust God. It's imperative. We can't carry loads and burdens anyway. We can't, God can handle it. So thank you.
Thank you, sister. As you were talking just now, I thought about 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, and David is, the scripture is listing the mighty men of David. And then at 2 Samuel 23, verse 39, it reads, Uriah the Hittite, 30 and 7 in all. He gets listed with the mighty men. He's a murder victim, but he's listed as a mighty man. Abel is considered the godly lion. He was a murder victim, but the Lord honored his integrity. Uriah refused to sleep with his woman while his fellow soldiers were on the front line getting killed. He kept his soldier responsibility to the forefront of his life. That's eventually what got him killed, because David knew that the woman was pregnant. And with him staying outside the door and not going in, that sealed it. But he was a mighty man. And so God didn't forget his faithfulness. All right, questions, comments, brief testimonies. I remember one of the things I used to tell our children when they were teenagers. And they would say, well, so-and-so did this and so-and-so do that. Now, when I was growing up, my mama would say, two wrongs don't make a right. If Joey jumps off the bridge, you're going to jump off the bridge with him. My saying to them is, you have to be right. In other words, you can't use somebody else's wrong as an excuse. You have to be, saints, we have to be right so that God can use us and grow us. It's for the good of our families. It's for the good of our spiritual life. It's for the good of the church for us to do that. We want to come into the, you know, Hebrews 12 talks about laying aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, to run this race with patience. It's a marathon. You can't be carrying a lot of weight. We got to give, to trust Jesus with the broken stuff, because we have a destructive tendency to not do that. That's in our flesh. It's there. You're not immune from it. I'm not immune from it. But if we are determined to give it to Jesus, if we're determined to make it right as quickly as we can make it right, to make the effort to live peaceably, to work it out if we can. It is what we have sown, and God honors it. Even if the situation doesn't get fixed, we have done our part to the glory of God. When we don't trust God, when we don't give God stuff, we're basically saying we just don't believe. We don't believe what you said in your word, Lord. We don't believe you really love us this way. We don't really believe you got the power to fix this situation because you, oh God, you ain't really met this person that I'm dealing with, you know, that kind of thing. Be careful about that. God knows the end from the beginning, and we just have to understand our frailty and our dependency on the Lord. Any additional questions or comments? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity together in your name. We thank you for the glory of your name. Lord, we thank you for the sureness of your promise. We thank you that you are a faithful God. And Lord, thank you for allowing us, hallelujah, to be on this call tonight. Lord, to read your scriptures, to be together in the spirit of cooperation, in the spirit of love, being knit together in love, sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, trusting you, Lord, hallelujah, agreeing, hallelujah, that we're going to be committed to trusting you for the broken stuff, for the hard stuff, for the dysfunctional stuff, for the stuff, hallelujah, we need to give you because we're not able to fix it and we're not able to carry it. Hallelujah, we're not supposed to be burdened with it. Hallelujah. And Lord, you know how to bless us once we give it to you. Once we give it to you, Lord, you lighten our load. Your yoke really does become much easier. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, bless everybody on the call. Bless those who have been sick. Bless those, hallelujah, that are struggling with family issues. Bless those who don't know exactly what they're going to do about this or what they're going to do about that. Bless those, hallelujah, who have struggled with issues, Lord, relationships, hallelujah. Some who have habits that they can't break. Some who have unwholesome relationships, unhealthy relationships, Lord, that you need to fix or end those relationships. Lord, we give all this stuff to you, and we ask that you intervene and help us to be real for you, Lord. Hallelujah. We don't want to put on no show. We don't want to act like we super saints if we're struggling. We just want to walk in confidence, Lord, knowing that you're with us, knowing that you're faithful and true, knowing that your name is glorious in the earth, and beside you there's none other. Knowing, hallelujah, that our help is in you and that without you we can do absolutely nothing. Nobody on this call can take another breath unless you allow it. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, have your way. In Jesus' name, prayer. Amen. All right, good night, everybody. Love you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to Living Bread. Living Bread. Please spread the word about today's broadcast. Living Bread. The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us. 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.